Fleet. The opinions expressed on the following program are those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of WCLO or Big Radio staff, management, or sponsors.
WCLO presents The Stan Milam Show.
Welcome back, folks, and welcome to our Minuteman Press guest line, Paul Dayton. He is an author, and he has a book titled Correcting Our Financial Miseducation, Raising the Bar for the Average. Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Stan. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
I have had a chance to go through your book, and one of the reasons I was eager to have you on the show is some of the positions, I guess I could say, some of the positions you have taken that are contrary to established positions by financial advisors and that sort of thing. I'll start off with one of them, and then we can talk about what led you to take these I'll call them contrarian positions. And one is having to do with 401ks and mutual funds, something that I think most portfolios are include, and financial advisors might say, you know, if your 401k includes a mutual fund, it can be diversified, and it's a pretty good way to invest. And you take a different approach to that. Tell our listeners why and why that might not be the best way to proceed.
Sure. So you really asked two questions. One is about the 401k account, and another one is about financial advisors. Now, the financial advisors ones I'll answer first, just because it's the shortest answer. Financial advisors get paid when you give them your business, and they, like all employees, are incentivized to keep their job as simple as possible. So when you have – see, it's easy to sit at a desk and just have limit to the three options. See, a 401k plan limits the person using it to three options, three types of money, which are stocks, bonds, and cash. Okay. I mean, they don't call it cash. They call it money market, but it's just cash.
Okay.
These three types of money, and I include a money chart in the book, I think it's on pages 8 and 9, that includes about a dozen types of money and compares and contrasts their strengths and weaknesses. The reason I do this is to show how bad stocks, bonds, and cash are at long-term growth and at producing paychecks. They're like the worst. They're terrible. The object of a portfolio. So most people in America who have sort of like made it, I'll call it, right? The bar for the average on the personal finance side is you go to high school, you fetch for grades, you go to college, you fetch for more grades. Eventually you leave with a certificate, you use that certificate to beg somebody to hire you for a job at their company. You try to stick with that company as long as you can. All your savings are in your single family home, the equity in that home, and then your 401k plan. All other money is basically spent on consumer spending. And that's someone who has like made it, right? That's doing, someone doing pretty good. So the reason that that's sort of bad is because the 401k plan limits you to stocks, bonds, and cash, which again are bad at producing paychecks and are bad at long-term growth. The financial advisor, as long as people will still pay them to do it, why would they want to have to work any harder than to limit to those three options and sort of put people in one or the other and say that, you know, pay me my 2%, please.
So Paul, is a mutual fund one way to broaden the options beyond those three?
No, because a mutual fund is just either stocks or bonds, right? It's comprised of stocks or bonds. Now, I'm talking about people not who have their 401k plan or their stock portfolio is a small portion of their savings, but people who have maybe the bulk of their savings in their 401k plan.
Okay.
That's what I mean. You know, if somebody has sort of a small portion of their portfolio, I mean, yes, of course, a mutual fund is more diversified than individual stocks. So, of course, that reduces the risk of total loss. Yes, that's correct. But these things are inferior to other forms, like, for example, rental real estate, other small business. Now, small business can be things like doing a little nail parlor Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You might do it out of a room in your house and eventually move up to renting a space in a strip mall. Right. Small business can mean, you know, buying a lawnmower and cutting some lawns and then eventually hiring somebody else to push the mower. So small business is something that scares a lot of people because they think it's this big, you know, you have to basically put all your eggs in one basket. Either all your eggs are in the work for somebody else and be dependent on what they'll pay you basket, or work for yourself in one business and risk, you know, actually losing money. And it doesn't have to be that way. You can sort of have it both ways. And that's kind of what I recommend in my book on the personal finance side, is to sort of you start off with a feeder job. OK, your employer is your job, just feeding money into your portfolio. Then with that money, obviously, you need to take care of your essentials, but you need to save money. And then once you save some money, now it's, okay, what do I do with that cash, right? What do I do with that? With inflation, see, cash is the guaranteed loser because of inflation.
Yeah.
People think that cash is safe, but it's not. They say, oh, well, if I take $1,000, 10 $100 bills, put them in a shoebox in my closet, come back in 10 years, pull out that same shoebox, say, see, I didn't lose any money. They're all still here. Once, twice, and then 10, see, all still here. However, they take that cash out into the world and they try to buy a car or some housing or whatever the case may be. It doesn't go as far. So in effect, they have lost purchasing power. So they really have lost money. Paul, so some of these things are sort of deceptive. Go ahead.
You mentioned the term productive assets. How does that carve out a special kind of asset? What are you talking about there? And how critical are productive assets to financial planning?
Sure. So assets that produce income, if instead of calling them a rent check, for example, take the example of residential real estate, owning rental properties. That's something a ton of regular people do and include in their portfolio. You can't do that inside of your 401k. In fact, the only story, the only tale from my career that I include in the book is a story where I bought a residential rental property. It was only the second property I ever bought. Long story short, it was a disaster. Everything went wrong, seemingly. And it took 15 months before I could get a bank loan for it. So I had really high payments and all these problems. You know what happened? In those 15 months that were like a disaster, I made 33% return on my principal just through debt equity alone. So when every time you make like your mortgage payment, for example, or your car payment, the amount that goes to pay off the principal is the amount that you're actually reducing your liabilities by and therefore becoming more wealthy by that amount. So I made 33% on my money in 15 months, just on that end alone. And then it became cash flow positive. I think it was $400 a month thereafter. And I only used about $15,000 of my own money. So, I mean, let's say it was about $400 a month. That's about, I mean, I think it was $300 a month. So let's say it was $3,000 a year. We'll lowball it off the top of my head. Go to the stock market, find anything you can do where you take $15,000. In 15 months, you get a 33% return on your principal. Thereafter, it starts producing a 30-something percent dividend, and your chances of losing all your money are zero because the property has homeowners insurance. I can't lose. There's no way for me to lose everything, right? Well, that's something where everything went bad, and it kills the things available to you inside your 401k plan, and that's the reason I use that story. See how limiting? So this is what happens to people. They'll start putting a little bit of money away. I hear you trying to break in. Go ahead.
Well, I just thought of 2008. Real estate took a hit. So there is some risk, is there not?
A risk of temporary, well, so did the stock market. But there is risk of course, of your principal being reduced due to market forces, yes. But the risk of it going to zero is not there, right? If you buy an individual company that offers really high dividends and really explosive growth, it comes with the associated risk of it could be worthless any day now, right? That's why they have to incentivize people with those attractive perks, right, in order to get people to lend their money to their company by buying shares of stock.
Okay.
So that's the point of that. But however, when it comes to the 2008, now in terms of principle, your real estate may have been negatively affected and that may have taken a few years. However, supposing that it's producing rental income, that is cash flow positive, paying paychecks, or call them dividend checks, those don't stop.
Yeah, and I think
you're still getting that return.
Yeah. And 08 had more to do with home mortgages, not necessarily rental property, if I remember. Do I remember that correctly?
You do. It had to do with, and this is a whole separate issue, some behind-the-scenes forms of money that people were doing, and the banks were basically getting a little carried away with trying to basically, almost like selling bad, rotten apples, but putting the fresh apples label on them, I guess is sort of the way to make that quick. But real quickly, I want to just point out on this 401k issue. So take this example of the real estate, because that's what we've been using. First of all, you can't buy real estate in a 401k. And people will end up, they'll put a little bit in, a little bit, then they get into their 40s and 50s. They get a six-figure number in there. It's kind of healthy. It starts with a five, maybe more sometimes. They're still limited to stocks, bonds, and cash. So let's say even if they're only in, you know, stocks, mutual funds, it's producing dividends that might even be, you know, $10,000 a year, we'll say. But again, they're trapped inside that 401k plan.
Okay.
These other accounts, you get paid this money today. So it's the reason this is better is because you can become the person, can become independent of their employer and not feel that employer's, you know, under their thumb so badly, controlling their life at a much earlier stage of life.
Okay.
I think the bar for the average, which is reasonable, should be elevated to by the time people are 40 years old, to make half of their own money themselves. That is, half the money they need to pay their bills are produced from their own portfolio.
Okay.
I think that is a very reasonable standard, and that's something you can never do with a 401k because, again, it doesn't produce income. And even if it does, like once you get enough in there to produce enough income to make a difference in your life, it's still trapped inside that 401k. You can't get to it until you're 60 years old.
Paul,
go ahead.
You're mentioning create your own portfolio, and you mentioned you could even start out by mowing lawns and then building that business up and having other people push the mower. Based on what I've read in your book and other research, you speak from experience. In the last few minutes that we have left, give our listeners an idea of how you have turned some of those so-called menial jobs into productive ventures that give you control of your portfolio.
Sure. So I'm a person who does not have a college degree. I worked, you know, sort of regular jobs, or I just moved out of New York State. I call it Soviet New York, where the loser politics or identity politics, or whatever you want to call it, is strong there. So all these supposed death sentences. I was the guy flipping burgers, making pizzas. I'm the guy who I was a janitor. I still do. I'll be a janitor today. I still work part-time jobs. Working these jobs that are supposed to be, you know, your fate is determined by your wage. Your fate is determined by the type of work you do. And that's all just nonsense. Hours equals dollars. Myself and a few like-minded people, we all kind of worked our way out of that. And so, yeah, I ended up doing 8 ventures in 7 years. I bought 6 houses. I did a secondhand store and I did a vending machine route. And almost all while working, you know, a full-time job. I did work a little bit hard and made some sacrifices in my 20s, but by the time I was 30, I had a six-figure net worth, a portfolio that produced, you know, a decent amount of cash flow, enabling me to sort of live a semi-retired lifestyle. I don't live in a mansion or anything, but, you know, I live fine. I have plenty of food to eat and do other stuff like write books and kind of, you know, do more of what I want with my time and with my life. And that's the freedom. Money is freedom. And if I can say this real quickly, in the land, let's say corn was money. Okay, corn, the, you know, C-O-R-N is money. No matter how many bushels of corn one person accumulates, they'll never be as free as the man who can grow their own corn, right? Who has their own self-sufficient, renewable corn supply. And I ran into people, they had these big fat 401k plans, and they're afraid of their employer. I'm over here. I'm 20 years younger than them. I've made, you know, they get paid from their employer wages that are 3 and 4 times what I ever got paid from an employer. And they have, you know, on paper, they have money, but in real life, they have no freedom.
All right, Paul, I want to remind our listeners that this blueprint for what you're saying is contained in your book, Correcting Our Financial Miseducation, Raising the Bar for the Average. Am I assuming our listeners can avail themselves of the book through Amazon or other means?
Yes, sir. Amazon.com. It's only $12.99 in paperback. It's affordable. I want people to check it out. Part one of the book is about personal finance. Part two of the book is called Vote for Freedom, How to Stay Free Once You Get Your Money Together on the Personal Side. Okay. And I think it's good for everybody.
Paul, thanks very much for joining us. Some very, very interesting thoughts. I encourage folks to invest in your book. It may unlock some opportunities for a lot of people. Thank you very much for joining us. Have a great day, Paul.
Thanks, Stan. Same to you.
That's Paul Dayton. He is the author of Correcting Our Financial Miseducation. Check it out on Amazon.com. We're going to check out high school baseball right after a quick break on the Stan Milam Show.
Go time at Chula Vista. Time for you to discover Wisconsin's most complete resort experience. 200,000 square feet of water park fun. New thrills like zip line racing. 18 holes of classic golf. Wisconsin's number one steakhouse. Hundreds of newly renovated rooms. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista's 70 Days of Summer. Make sure you get the most out of your time and your wallet. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
I'm Jim Tresco with Your Money Now. Last week was a turbulent week for U.S. stocks, and this week could bring more of the same. The Monday session saw the market finish slightly lower, a decline of 10 points for the S&P 500. The Dow Industrials shed 54, the Nasdaq Composite eased 50. Airbnb last week reported better-than-expected numbers for first-quarter revenue and gross bookings, but the vacation rental company stock tumbled 6.2% today in heavy trading. That as insiders became free to sell their shares for the first time since the company's December initial public offering. The first monthly payment of an expanded and newly advanceable child tax credit from the American Rescue Plan will be made on July 15th. The monthly payments are expected to go to roughly 39 million households, covering 80% of America's children. They've been gone for about 10 years, but Burger King's crown-shaped chicken nuggets are making a return to the menu. Initially, they'll be sold in about 24 BK restaurants in the Miami area, but the chain told fans of the nuggets to stay tuned for info regarding a potential nationwide launch.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health?
Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-714-6633. That's 1-800-714-6633. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-714-6633.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. There's no limit to what you can create with Menards' huge selection of landscape blocks. From sturdy retaining walls to a quaint path through your garden. Right now, all landscape blocks are 11% off. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through May 22nd. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
When Mother Nature is at her worst, WCLO is your official weather station. WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.
All right, we're going to close off a Monday edition of the Stan Milam Show and head out to Riverside Park, I think. It's Janesville's answer to Marv Albert, Josh Goldberg.
Does that mean I can retire, too?
Yeah, I was just going to say, go ahead. You and Marv can retire on the same day. Why not?
Yes.
You are at Riverside Park, are you not?
Indeed, we are. There are no irrigation problems. The field is looking excellently manicured. The chalk lines are down. We're ready for ball.
Okay, now, you've got a game this afternoon, Janesville Craig and Sun Prairie, correct?
Correct, and now, Sun Prairie is apparently ranked number one according to the Coaches Association poll, and they come in 8-0 undefeated. Craig won on Friday against Beloit Memorial and then lost a non-conference game on Saturday to Oconomowoc.
Well, the Sun Prairie card. Now, are there two Sun Prairies now?
Not until 2022. Oh, that's when that school is going to be opening up, and those teams are all going to be split.
Okay, so it's still the Sun Prairie Cardinals this year. And,
correct.
They had better get ready for their first loss of the season. I know you and Mr. Barry can do it.
Oh, I like that.
What's that?
I like that.
Yeah. Now, as I've noticed, though, the last few times you and I have talked before your game, it's always been Craig Cougars. Are you doing Parker games as well, or?
Yeah, we haven't done a Parker game since week one. Their game that we were scheduled to do a couple of weeks ago or a week ago got washed out and pushed back, and we were unable to make that one up. But we got a Parker and Verona matchup coming on Thursday down here at Riverside. It's just the way the schedule falls, unfortunately, with baseball.
We're not playing favorites here.
No, absolutely. I get that question a lot during basketball season,
yeah.
But we try to even it out as best we can, but we got to do the broadcast the way the schedule presents.
Okay, Mr. Barry, by your side there?
He is, but he does not have headphones as of yet.
Okay, well, you two have a good game and bring back a Cougar victory. Okay,
we're going to try. This is going to be a tough one, but Craig's going to have to be on their A game, and I think they know it too.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Nice talking to you. You have a great game, and
thanks,
I will be listening for a Cougar victory. That's Josh. I'm Stan, right here on WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.
count on WCLO for news first thing in the morning.
I get up to speed on the latest news.
The traffic, the weather.
News happens all day long.
U.S. news, world news, everything.
Stay up to date. Stay informed.
Get the late breaking stories right away.
When you need to know, we've got you covered anytime.
Good information.
WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.
The following is a special presentation of WCLO Sports. Janesville Craig Boys Baseball is on the air. Our coverage begins with Cougar Preview, an in-depth look at our featured Cougars baseball game. Now, live from the ballpark, here's John Barry and the voice of WCLO Sports, Josh Goldberg.
From Veterans Field at Riverside Park, it is boys baseball between the Janesville Craig Cougars and the Sun Prairie Cardinals, the number one ranked, according to the Coaches Association, Sun Prairie Cardinals that come in at 8-0. Janesville Craig is at 6-2. John, the last time we gathered was down here on Friday, where we saw a unconventional Beloit Memorial team, I guess, in their approach to being competitive, but that may be just what they have to deal with. Craig kind of did what they had to do in order to beat the Purple Knights, but unfortunately then the next day they showed up to Oconomowoc and gave in an uninspiring effort, and with no practice on Sunday in between, their third game now in 4 days, you probably would have liked to do some things in between to kind of wipe the slate clean after that loss to the Raccoons.
I think most definitely. But, you know, somebody once said that, you know, if you can't run with the big dogs, stay on the porch. And the Cougars are about to find out, in fact, if indeed they can run with the big dogs, because Sun Prairie, again, no surprise, a talented squad. I think we counted four kids that are already verbally committed college-wise to the Division I level. So.
And there is a fifth.
We're not sure who that is yet, but probably one of the other nine starters. But, you know, I mean, Rob Hamilton's that's the kind of program he has, and that's the kind that, you know, Craig's been right there with him. It's just this is a little inexperienced team for Craig, whereas Sun Prairie, you know, brings back some kids with a little bit more experience, and thus far nobody's beaten them. But doesn't mean they're not they're not beatable, because they certainly are. Verona gave them two pretty good games when they played a couple of weeks ago, and Craig knocked off Verona last week. So, again, a lot of it's going to come down to pitching matchups. We saw Jack Ryan last week against Beloit, and, you know, I would say a so-so, or not against Beloit. I'm sorry, that was against
they play earlier in that week.
Madison West. You know, not his best stuff, and Vic admitted that, but, you know, hopefully today he ratchets it up a notch with really, you don't have a choice. I mean, it's Sun Prairie, and they're going to swing the bats, and they're going to hit. And if for Craig, you've got a field, you know, you can't give them any extra opportunities, because they'll take advantage of it.
Well, in Janesville, Craig has been a, so far, slow team out of the gate. They trailed Madison West right out of the gate. They trailed Beloit Memorial right out of the gate. And they were able to climb back in and make some adjustments and things like that. But I don't know. If there's ever one of those scenarios where you want to avoid, I would imagine it's Sun Prairie, because I'm not so sure that they're going to be the type of team that will allow you to take advantage of mistakes, or even give you the opportunity by making a mistake to let you back in.
No, they're not going to. And I think when you look back to last week, you touched on in the opening about, you know, Beloit, just a very poor high school baseball team. There's no question about that. And Oconomowoc, a good program. The Cougars mm-hmm. go in, three different pitchers walk nine batters, and that's a recipe for disaster. And I think, for the most part, put both games behind you. You know, you can't take much out of the Beloit game, and you know, when you walk nine players, you know, that's not going to do you any good either. So forget about those two games and kind of take on the task at hand, which is right now, I think, you know, the baseball coaches know their stuff. This is the number one team in the state, and they're number one for a reason. And all you got to do is look down the roster and understand why. And, you know, we'll touch on that more as the game goes on. But for Craig, you know, try to keep it close and give yourself a chance at the end. That's all you can do.
This is the Casey's General Store pregame show. Casey's, your home for pizza, with two locations in Janesville and Beloit. We've talked at length so far here in the third or fourth week of the baseball season, whatever it is, about the five sophomores that are starting for Janesville Craig. And I think this could be kind of a real one of those eye openers that they, you know, look forward to. Okay, so this is what it, you know, being a top team in the state, this is how you act. I mean, Sun Prairie is a model program. You said that kind of in your opening comments. The teams are now in their own, in the same sectional, which the only time outside of the Big Eight that Craig would see Sun Prairies again if you make it all the way to the state tournament. But
right.
This has always been a pretty good rivalry. But I think this is also something for some of the younger kids where, you know, this you hear about Sun Prairie being a top team. Now you're going to get a chance to see them in action and kind of a little benchmark that you can set for yourself.
It is. And, you know, you talk about a rivalry, I would even go as far as to say this is a heated rivalry, you know, because these two teams have dominated the Big 8 landscape for the past decade. You know, when you look at state tournament appearances and state tournament championships in Division I, these two teams are at the top of the list. And, you know, when these two teams get together, you know, there's not a lot of love lost. And, right. I mean, there's mutual admiration. I think both coaches obviously
for sure.
respect one another. But, you know, there's been some bad blood down through the years and not anything dirty or
right.
anything malice. But I think it's just a matter of two teams that realize they don't want to give up their post at the top. And this, you know, a win for Craig today and they're basically tied for first. So, you know, it's early in the season. They play again on Wednesday. But, you know, it's still a game that, you know, you can't put all your eggs in one basket.
Well, I think when you look at Sun Prairie as well, I mean, I would assume Craig feels like they have a chance against anybody each time out when they take the diamond. But when you look at Sun Prairie's schedule, I mean, they haven't necessarily blown people's doors off. They only beat Madison West 4-0. They beat Verona 4-2 and 4-1. They have scored double-digit runs against La Follette and Madison East a couple of different times. So, I mean, you know, if you play a good game and you get some good pitching and you get some timely hitting, nobody's saying that you can't beat a team, but you also have to know that you're going to have to play pretty well and limit mistakes.
Exactly, and I'm not much of a betting man, but if I were to bet, the one bet I'd make today is Craig will not have 16 stolen bases. that's not going to happen. Okay. I can just watch the catcher, Caron, warming up, and he's got a rifle for an arm. So, you know, the little things like that Craig took advantage of, not going to happen today. They may have to play a little bit of small ball, move runners around, and it starts at the top with Jake Schaffner, who's really impressed me. He's gotten better. He's very disciplined at the plate. I think the strategy right now for him is to try to avoid getting hit because he seems like every other at bat somebody's plunking him in the head or something. But,
right.
You know, when he gets on, he's in the mold of a Jack Blomgren, of a Dan Blomgren, a guy that can, you know, set the table for you and certainly quick enough to move around. But I think tonight's a case where instead of him stealing second, third, if he can get on to lead off an inning, you know, it may be a case of bunting him to second and hope your 3 and 4 hitters can knock him in.
Still got time to get down here. Should be a good one, we hope. Janesville, Craig, and Sun Prairie down at Veterans Field at Riverside Park. More of our pregame show coming up in a couple of minutes right here on WCLO Janesville Beloit and online at WCLO.com.
You've been listening to Cougar Preview with Josh Goldberg and John Berry. Stay right here for the Vic Herbst Show as our pregame coverage continues. Next on FM 92.7 and AM 1230, WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.
Ah, don't you feel so free out here on the lake?
Not as free as this soda.
Where'd you get free soda?
Casey's. Buy 4 fountain drinks, 5th one's free.
I love free.
Bought this jerky, got this free donut too. And these chips could win me a free Lee Bryce concert here in our town.
With Casey's Summer of Freedom sweepstakes, the more you buy, the more you can win, including a free Lee Bryce concert for your town. Casey's, here for good. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit Casey's.com.
For those prepping for summer travel, start with a trip to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, where you'll find genuine value on everything you need to get out on the road and stay there. Like all brands and sizes of tires, buy 3, get 1 free with installation. Plus, get up to $70 in rebates on select Goodyear and Cooper tires when you buy a matching set of 4. Blaine's Farm and Fleet Platinum on Motive batteries start at $94.99 after $5 sale and exchange. Or for those staying home to knock out spring projects, save on Chamberlain Belt Drive garage door openers with built-in Wi-Fi, only $159.99. Keep tools handy with a Bucket Boss Mullet Buster suspension rig, normally $73.99, now just $49.99. Select Kidde fire extinguishers or smoke alarms are on sale, $15.99. And 30 packs of Rayovac AA or AAA batteries are just $8.99. Plus, buy online and pick up your items in our convenient drive-thru. You don't even need to get out of your car.
Find value at Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
You're listening to High School Boys Baseball on WCLO. Our pregame coverage continues with the Vic Herbst Show, a conversation with the head coach of the Craig Cougar Boys Baseball Team. Here again is WCLO Sports Director Josh Goldberg.
non-conference game on Saturday at Oconomowoc. Lopsided score. Things kind of got away in the first inning. Combination of things that kind of went wrong right off the bat. I mean, you guys were coming off a very interesting win against Beloit Memorial, which we'll get to, but what happened against the Raccoons, just in summary?
Yeah, we let too many free runners on. I think we ended up having walking nine guys in the day, and I think we hit two batters, so that's 11 free runners. And we had a group of them in the first inning, a group I think it was in the fifth and sixth in there, is when we allowed some more on there. So to give a team like that, they're a little older, and they really capitalize on the free runners, kind of like what we did the other night against Beloit, which I'm sure we're going to talk about in a little bit here. That's a bad combination. It's a good team, and they play in a really good league, the Classic 8. That's a big school league with a lot of good teams in it, so I think we got a little wake-up call that we got to come to the park to play every day, and we got to play crisp and not get free runners.
All right, so yes, that Beloit Memorial game, the pitcher's velocity was a struggle early for the guys. I mean, I drove up and was getting ready, and we saw, you know, batting practice being thrown. That was coming in faster than Beloit Memorial started, and you could tell that the kids, they weren't moving up in the box right away. They were having trouble waiting. They were wanting to tee off on it. You don't deal with that a whole lot when you're in a game situation. What was the thought after the first couple of guys? Did you have to turn to say, hey guys, this isn't going to, you know, get any faster. You're going to have to adapt, or we're going to be in a world of hurt, because they put up two early runs on you.
Yeah, they did. And I think, again, that was a little wake-up call for us. And their pitcher that came in, he was not a hard thrower at all. And it's hard to get a kid to dial it down. And you can tell them and say, hey, this is just like BP. Let it get there. When it gets there, put a good swing on it. And you're up there wanting to rip it in half, and it's not getting there when you need it to. It's a tough adjustment, and took us a little bit. We did a great job with some discipline, though, of getting into the counts. And we had quite a few free runners, and we were able to steal quite a few bags on them and keep our guys moving, put pressure on them, and kept our lead to a decent amount to keep working on what we do there with running the bases there.
There was a different catcher in than the last time we saw the Purple Knights against Beloit Memorial or against Janesville Parker. And I don't know what the change was. I don't know why it was, whether that kid wasn't available or whatever. The catcher for Beloit Memorial clearly had an issue getting the ball out to second, down to third. He overthrew the base. You as a coach, when you clearly see there's a player that's struggling that can't pull the trigger to the varsity level caliber that you're expecting, what's going through your mind on when maybe we should pull back? I mean, because the stolen base amount was a lot, and nobody ever wants to get embarrassed, and you as a coach don't want to do that to the other team. Where's that fine line? Did you have kind of a conversation with yourself or the other coaches about maybe we should, you know, rein it in a little bit?
Well, if you look at the end of the day, the final was 10-3. So we only won by 7 runs. We ended up beating Verona 11-2 and almost 10 run them. And so there's not really, you know, an unwritten rule, but it's like, I know when you get close to the run rule mark, which is 10, I've had over the years, there's been teams that have stuck it to us a little bit. And when you get up to around, you get to there, they kind of call the dogs off and hit your way around the diamond. But at the time when we were getting those bags, we weren't getting a lot of base hits and stuff like that. And if you go back and look, it's like we'd manufacture a run or two, steal some bags, get a run or two. And at the end of the day, I mean, the final score was 10-3, and it looks lopsided with the stolen bases, but there's a lot of games in our league that are going to be that type of score where you're not calling the dogs off on a 10-3 game.
All right, so coming off that loss to Oconomowoc, you don't have a day of practice, so you're kind of down in that game, and now you have to host Sun Prairie, with you guys generally the last, you know, decade, cream of the crop of the league, you know, maybe one or two other teams in there from year to year. But would you obviously rather have a practice or a game in between, because you don't want to kind of come in on a down note, but it feels like that's what you're doing. Is it easy for you as a coach to have the kids wipe the slate clean, or for you as coaches to kind of put that one behind you because you need to be on your A game against the Cardinals?
Well, I think it would help if we'd have a chance to get a practice in just to kind of prepare them for things. Going up against Sun Prairie, they got a really good team. I don't think they've been beat yet this year. And 1-9, they're really good. And so you just got to come be ready to play come Monday. And we'll see what we're made of. Well, I'm not getting a chance to get a practice day in, but it is what it is. That's what's on the schedule. And we got to go get them on Monday.
You've been listening to the Vic Herbst Show on WCLO Sports. Stay tuned. The starting lineups and first pitch of today's game are coming up next on WCLO Janesville Beloit.
and streaming live at WCLO.com.
Investment and insurance products not FDIC insured. No bank guarantee may lose value. Wells Fargo Advisors is a trade name used by Wells Fargo Clearing Services, LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer and non-bank affiliate of Wells Fargo & Company.
What is the purpose of investing? Let's let financial advisor John Wong from Wells Fargo Advisors in Janesville tackle that one.
Investing is a way to fund your future. Things like retirement, children's education, charitable gifts, anything on our bucket list that will require a certain amount of assets at a specific point in time. By investing, we can plan ahead and prepare. We can work towards financial freedom and our life's goals. A solid plan can make things easier. When life throws curveballs, such as COVID-19, home repairs, divorce, or a death in the family, which could potentially delay or even derail our plans and goals if not properly accounted for. Helping you understand how and when to save and invest is key in what we do every day at Wells Fargo Advisors.
Let Wells Fargo Advisors help you plan for your future. Call financial advisor John Wong today at 608-758-5310.
Our goal is to help you live the life you want.
Service you love from people you trust. That's what you can expect from every visit to Bob Clapper Automotive. It's not just a slogan, it's the way we do business. From the sales team to the service department, the staff makes it their business to make sure you're satisfied with your purchase. Right now, we want to buy your vehicle even if you don't make a purchase. Stop in for a free appraisal today and leave with a check in hand. Bob Clapper Automotive, where you'll find service you love from people you trust.
This is the Big Radio Sports Network.
Today's game on WCLO Janesville Beloit is brought to you by Casey's General Store, Bob Clapper Automotive, Culver's of Janesville and Newville, Blaine's Farm and Fleet, Blackhawk Community Credit Union, Johnson Tractor, Jason Bender of Rural Mutual Insurance, K&W Greenery, your local Wells Fargo Advisors, Homes by Rana, Carpets Plus, the Rock County Prevention Network, and Pioneer. Josh Goldberg, John Barry, set for Janesville, Craig, and Sun Prairie. Coaches are meeting with the umpires, and we're going to get the national anthem here in a minute. And when we come back, starting lineups on the first pitch of today's game. That's coming up in 2 minutes after this from Carpets Plus, the Rock County Prevention Network, Pioneer, and Blackhawk Community Credit Union on WCLO Janesville Beloit and online at WCLO.com.
It's luxurious, stain-proof, and available in six colors. It's Nature's Elegance Carpet by Mohawk. Sink your toes into the softness of Smart Strand Silk Forever Clean Carpet for only $3.59 a square foot. Mohawk's soft, stain-resistant carpet is the only carpet with permanent built-in stain and soil protection that won't wear or wash off. Mohawk's Nature Elegance and Carpets Plus Color Tile on the northernmost point of Pontiac Drive in Janesville.
Blend your design with our selection at your nearest Carpets Plus store.
Your Mohawk flooring destination.
With summer coming and your kids home, plus grand parties, hey, it's time to secure the liquor bottles with bottle locks and get a lock for that beer fridge. Research shows parents are the number one reason young people decide not to drink. Don't allow your teen to drink. Show your teen how to live above the influence. To get alcohol bottle locks, please contact Becky at 757-5907. More info on WCLO.com and the community calendar. This message from Rock County Prevention Network.
What can you do at 14 years old to earn money? While soaking up the Wisconsin summer sunshine, the Pioneer Research location in Janesville needs corn pollinators. It's about 3 weeks of work starting in mid-July and starting wage is $10 an hour. Applications accepted until all positions are filled. Get some green in your pocket. Must be 14 years or older for about 3 weeks of work starting mid-July. Call or text Pioneer for more details or to apply at 608-295-3462. That's 608-295-3462.
A talk show that's built around you.
I'd like the opportunity to call. I'd like hearing what's on other people's minds.
Your talk show, weekdays starting at 9 a.m. on WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.
Starting lineups for today's game being brought to you by Bob Clapper Automotive, service you love from people you trust. We'll start with the Sun Prairie Cardinals. The visiting team batting first is number one, Carson Shepard, a senior playing shortstop. The second hitter is a junior, Davis Hamilton, wearing number two. He's at second base. The three hitters, number four, Josh Karin, a senior. He's doing the catching. The cleanup hitter is Jackson Hunley, wearing number 14. The DH, he is a junior. And the batting fifth is senior Derlin Radlin, wearing number nine. He's in center field. The sixth hitter is Carter Wambach. He's a senior, wearing number five. And playing first base. Number eight, Andrew Urban, is hitting seventh. He's a senior playing third base. And number seven, Addison Ostrenga, a junior, is batting eighth. He'll be in right field and doing the pitching. And batting ninth is number 11, Brady Stevens. He is a senior. Number 12, Jenkin Alexander, is a junior. He is out in left field, but not in the batting lineup for Coach Rob Hamilton. Again, the Cardinals 8-0, 7-0 currently in the Big 8 Conference. And now for the Janesville Craig Cougars and head coach Vic Herbst. Leading off playing shortstop is number 7, Jake Shafter. He's a sophomore. Hitting second, number 17, Patrick Shork. He's a junior out in center field. Right fielder Aiden Schenk, wearing number 12, a sophomore, is hitting third. The cleanup batter is Josh Udelhoffen, the catcher. The senior is wearing number 10. Hitting fifth is number 11, Isaac Streed, senior first baseman. Hitting sixth is Jake Hansen, the DH, wearing number 3. He's a senior. The seventh hitter is number 1, Jack Adams, a sophomore out in left field. Jack Ryan is on the mound wearing number 2. The junior is batting 8th. And the ninth hitter is number 13, Joe Street, a sophomore playing second base. And in the field, but